We're continuing on in our anatomy series. A cool series. I like it. Again, it's confusing, hopefully so. So people will be like, oh, we'll come see, listen to it online, that kind of thing. So I got something for you guys. I don't know if you're going to know what it is or not. You ever seen one of these before? $100 bill. I don't see them very often. But when I have one, it's valuable. We all know the value of a $100 bill, and it's something sought after. There's always this range. Like, so when we do like a giveaway at some event or something like that, there's a range of money that people will put their name in for, right? So we ask for their information, right? That's the rules of a raffle. So you ask for the information, and they're like, that's enough money. $100 is enough money. People will put their name in. They'll give their email address, their phone number, whatever, just to get that $100. So anybody want this $100? Would you want this $100? You do? Okay. So what if I take it and I fold it up? Do you still want this $100? Okay. Some of y'all think I'm about to do a magic trick or something. I bet. I'm no David Copperfield. Now do you want it? Go even smaller. Now do you want it? Okay. Still want it. All right. Now open it up. What if I did it like this? Do you still want the $100? Some of you are cringing. You're like, oh man, don't hurt the $100. Do you still want it? What if I put it on the floor and I stomp on it a little? I rub it in. You still want that? Get it nice and dirty. Where's one of those flies I can put on it? Would you still want it?
Yeah.
All right, now it's dirty. I'm going to try to open it back up without tearing it. I was a little nervous to do this. And it's kind of beat up, dirty now. It's been under my shoe, which I, in fact, did kill a fly with my shoe earlier. So I don't remember which one. So it's a gamble. So you have this crumpled up $100 bill now, right? Another new $100 bill. Which one would you pick? If I ask you all... You got to pick one. If I said, if you had to pick one of these $100 bills, which one would you want? Either one, yes. Most people would say, oh, I'll take the clean one. I'll take the crisp one. They hold the same value, though. And it's something about the image, knowing that it's dirty, knowing that it's been worn out, it's crumpled up. There's just something about having something that looks better in your hand, something that has greater value to. We begin to compare them, right? If I walked up to somebody on the street and said, you had to pick one of these $100 bills, which one you want, they would immediately start going, well, this one doesn't have any crinkles. There's no dead fly on this one. Although they spin the same, but I think I want this one. They'll always pick the cleaner one. They begin comparing things in their head. I'm not actually giving this away. I'm sorry. This is going back into the bizank. We have it in our nature to compare. We have it in our nature to compare things. When we see something that is, if it was one option, we'll take it. But then when we're given options, we say, okay, but what about this against this? Stores are doing great at this. On websites, they'll have options now where you can say, save this. Now, do you want to compare it to a different product? Do you want to compare? Do you want to compare? It's in our nature. We always want the better of something. We want to feel like we're getting the better. Just recently, I don't know if you saw it on Facebook, you're friends with Hannah, she put on there, and Hannah does this all the time, and I was like, why do you keep doing this to yourself? She'll go on and she'll say, it was for Gage's lunches. She goes on a Pinterest and she Pinterest lunches for kids. And of course, it's like the whole Sesame Street cast and made in a sandwich, you know, and all this and for every day, you know, it's all these crazy things. And Hannah's like, she starts like almost to cry because she's like, I'm an inadequate parent. I can't do this. She starts comparing herself to what these people done. I'm like, honey, baby, they do not do that. They might do that for a week. But if anybody, a real parent with actual time on their hands, they cannot produce that. That doesn't happen. That was strictly for Pinterest, for you to swoon over it and whatever it may be. Magazines are really good at doing this. They want you to compare who wore it best. And then you look at the magazines and you say, well, I don't look like those people. or I don't have their jobs or their money or drive their cars. Whole reality shows are based on this premise. The Kardashians, what do? Nothing. They do absolutely nothing. But there is shows on top of shows about them. They've branched off, and now there's specific shows for these specific people. One of them started a sock line, and it's successful. Why? People like to compare themselves. They like to look at the Kardashian life, this family, and say, what do they have that I don't have? I'm going to live vicariously through them in this moment, but I'm going to feel terrible about my life after because I don't have the expensive cars. I don't have the money to blow. Oh, man, one episode I watched, I watched one, just one. They were on a yacht, and like she falls into the water and loses a ring or something like that. This is Kim I'm talking about, and if you're familiar with the show. And you would think that he ripped her leg off or something. Like it was the end of the world. She could go buy 50 of them. She could buy the whole store if she wanted to. But it's this whole thing about comparing and wanting, and you look at it and you say, what is in my life? Why can't I worry about things like that? Why can't I be on a yacht? You compare. It happens. That's why Pinterest fails is a thing. That's why the hashtag exists, Pinterest fails, and people post, you know, it's really funny. Like it's, you know, I don't know. There's so many things. Like they'll say, well, this is what I was trying to make, and this is what I made, you know. In fact, one of my friends just recently did it. Apparently you can take cookies, flip over a muffin pan, and you take a cookie and you wrap it around the bottom, right? And you're supposed to make cookie bowls for your ice cream. Man, did he fail. Like there was something, a secret in there that he missed. In fact, he posted on social media and he said, Pinterest fail. This is obviously not true. You can't do this. And somebody got in there and said, well, you needed to add this or this, whatever. But it was just crazy how they can make you think you can achieve all these things. You begin to compare yourself. It's in our nature. We all have found ourselves, whether it's in comedic way as a Pinterest fail or in a serious way, we found ourselves comparing ourselves to something that we shouldn't be because we're all unique and individual. It's weird how we all know this, but still we want to match ourselves up to something that's different. It's through the bumps and bruises of life, we end up with a self-image. So just like this $100 bill that I crumpled up, you got to live the life of this $100 bill. You got to see me fold it up, crinkle it, crush it, throw it on the ground, put some fly juice on it. You saw all of that. But you don't know the life of this one. This one just appeared out of nowhere. But you would rather have this one. But you have no idea if this is real, if it's fake. You don't know. You just think that you do because of your perception of it. Because you compared just with your eyes and you didn't flesh it out. You don't know what the other one has experienced or where it's gone. So we do this to ourselves. We end up comparing ourselves to others. And even though we are value, even though humans all have the same value, they all have the same value. We all have souls, we all have hearts, we all have same value, definitely to God. But we end up devaluing ourselves because we don't compare to somebody else. We do this to ourselves all the time. At work, you don't get as many sales as the other person, or you're not as work as fast as that other person that they put on a pedestal, and so you devalue yourself. I'm not good enough. I'm not worth it. And sports is a very common one. I mean, watch the Olympics. They're constantly comparing. It's really cool to watch when the swimming is happening. They put the world record line, I can't remember her name. She by a mile, it looked like. She had enough time to touch the other side, get out of the pool, and like just dry off, and then the rest of the people were beginning to touch the wall. The comparing happens, and it's okay in something like that, but when then you get to value yourself against that, some people were just created to do something different. And that's just the way it goes. So we do this to ourselves all the time, and it's not bad in certain scenarios, but it can get out of hand. This especially happens when we come together in groups. When we're trying to serve a greater purpose, we come together and we start comparing each other. So Paul, this is something that he had to address with the Corinthians. In his letter, in the 1 Corinthians 1, the scripture we've been looking at, 1 Corinthians 12, if you went down the week and read on, that's fine. If you were spoiling the next sermon, that's okay. But I welcome that. Please do. But we continue on in 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20, and Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and he's having to address this issue of comparing. It says, if you have your phone, you can pull it up in the app or turn to it. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, what would make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. See, Paul could sense the insecurity in his people. Remember, he started this in AD 50, and this is like about 5 years later. And as it is with people, as time goes on, they begin to compare themselves to each other. And like in human way, we put appointment, we range it, and we say, this position is obviously more important because they make bigger decisions, or this position because there's no one else that does that can do it. Like, I'm not a worship guy. You don't want me to be. It would be terrible. But there's people that can do it. And vice versa. There's people that can get up and sing. But they couldn't say a sentence without, they couldn't get out because they'd be so nervous, or they just, their mind, it's just, that's the way it goes. And I use that example, and that's kind of what's very in front of you. But there are so many working parts of the body of Christ. So Paul knew this, and he knew he had to address it because people begin to compare themselves to each other. And then, so what happens when humans compare? The insecurities come rushing in. You begin to devalue who you are because they hold more important positions to a higher standard. So they disqualify themselves. So Paul's analogy, which I said last week, genius analogy. In his time, this was beyond. People could really see, and they can. This was an illustration to say, okay, this is the body. And just like we work together, this works together. And it's very important. So he's bringing logic to something spiritual. Something that you can't see, he brings logic to it to help people understand. So because it exists, because the body exists, and like I said last week, whether you know it or not, you are a part of something that already exists. You're in it. It exists. And because it exists, there is design to it. There's one thing I wanted to point out in Scripture, and I'm going to take you back to King James Version for a second to point this out, because I love the way it's said. And it's verse 18. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." And so when I was reading that, it interested me. I was like, yeah, we're all different. We all serve a greater purpose, and that's awesome. But then this got pointed out, as it pleased him. So I went back to what's the Greek of that? What is the base of that? And it's thello. This phrase of words is thello. It's a verb. It is purpose. It is intention to take delight in or to have pleasure in for the purposes of pleasure. And then I went even deeper, and I had to work on the roles of my tongue for this one. The root word to thello is hairio. Hairio. Is that pretty good, the role there? That was good. Hairio. There we go. And that root word, which developed thello, is to take for oneself, to prefer or choose. So this is a very important piece that we tend to miss when we're reading, is as it pleased him. So yes, we're a part of something greater, right? And just because you're not like somebody else, he's telling the Corinthians as they are comparing, and remember, this is the beginning of the Christian church. There wasn't anything to really compare the church to. This was kind of like, as we go, we learn. And so as they went and they learn and they begin to develop and get more efficient, then the comparing happened. He's like, well, I'm not important as that person, so I might as well not do this. And they disqualified themselves. But he made sure to say this because this is a very important part of it. Because when we compare ourselves, when the Corinthians are comparing themselves, they're thinking that it's pleasing man. Man are the ones that make the comparisons. They're the ones that create those. And so it's meant for their benefit, own selfish benefit. And they lose something important, that God has designated them for whatever they're doing. So what they're doing in the early church, whatever position they hold, whatever limb they were to the body, it was created to please God, not the other people. That's just a benefit that they get. They just get the benefit of being able to enjoy whatever thing that you serve. So it's very important to God. So God took time when he created you to make you with special skills and talents. He took time because it pleased him. So that when the Corinthians are doing what they're doing, whether in the early church, whether they are the best bulletin maker in the world, you know, whatever it may be, whatever they're created to do, they might not be able to preach, but they make an awesome bulletin, you know? The people benefit from it, but it pleased God, and that's what was important. As the Corinthians kept in mind, and Paul kept trying to remind them, regardless of where they were, they had a place. And wherever that was, it pleased God. So they should have been proud. They should be proud of whatever they're doing. And stop looking for man to give them. It's great when the other limbs go, hey, you're doing a great job, eye. Way to go, ear. You're really killing it, leg. That feels good, you know, and we do that up here, I boast on Tanner, I boast on Hannah, I boast on you guys. It feels good, but you're not doing that for them. It's for God. That's when it's really cool. That's when it really makes sense. So the most common thing I hear is when we pose the question, who wants to get involved? The most common thing I hear is, I don't have any talents. And you think that you don't have any talents because when you come to a service, what do you see? You see worship, you see music, you see people speaking, you see people running things. So you think that I can't plug myself into those situations, so I don't have any talents and I can't do anything for the church. You disqualify yourself. That's the most common thing I hear, and it's a tragedy because we don't give ourselves designation. God already has. God has already given you designation in the church. He's already created you with something inside of you that you're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ. You already are. God has given you purpose. So why are we worried about pleasing other people when you should be worried about pleasing the one who created you to do what you do? That's what's important. Stop worrying about what people think of you. Because remember, all these things are man-made. It's not you that decides that you're part of the body. It's just a fact. You are. Regardless of what somebody told you, regardless if somebody says you don't have a place here, they are wrong. If I was to stand before you and point somebody out and says they don't have anything to offer this church, I would be wrong. Now, let me lay this out there. If somebody is trying to harm the church, if somebody's coming here trying to poison, then I have to step in and say, sorry, you're not welcome here because you're trying to harm the sheep, the flock. You're trying to harm them. So like a wolf, I had to kick them out. They could have served a purpose, but something changed. So I had to throw that in there, all right? Just put that there. I'm not laying y'all to the wolves, but you're welcome. It's not always a fun job to have to chase the wolves off, but I will do it because I love you guys. Nor can you force yourself into being a limb. So if God created you to be an eye, you cannot make yourself be a hand. As much as I want it, I cannot make myself have an amazing voice or be able to understand music theory on levels nobody else can. I just have not been gifted with that. Thank you. I'm sure I could probably gather it and do something with it, but there's people that are better at it. There's people that are better in tune with their emotions than I am. And that's usually what is required of a worship leader, is for them to be in tune with their emotions so they can read a crowd and they can lead them in worship. I just wasn't created that way. And that's okay. So you cannot force yourself to be something that you are not. So the first step, and this is one of the hardest steps, is figuring out what body part are you? What are your gifts? What do you have? And once you figure that, I mean, again, that's the hardest thing to do, because people wander for a long time until they figure that out. And whether that's a travesty on the church of not helping them find that, or whether it's just personal insecurities, they're having to fight themselves to find value in themselves and whatever it is, but it happens. But that's the hardest thing to do. But once you find out, then you can strengthen it. So once I figured out what these arms can do, you can hit the weights. You can start, you know, making them stronger. Once you figure out the power of legs and what they're made for, you can learn how to walk faster and then jog and then run. And then when you figure that out, you can get better at it. Ultimately, your designation is from God. And I'm here to tell you today, whether you believe it or not, you have purpose. If you're feeling down on yourself, if you feel like you can't serve in some capacity, you are wrong. God created you for a reason. He created you for a purpose. He designated you. You are a part of the body, whether you acknowledge it or not. Stop worrying about what other people think. Stop worrying about comparing yourself to others, because the way God created you pleases him. And when you begin to see it that way, things start opening up. It just begins to start just to click, because you're serving the one that created you for the purpose, rather than trying to serve all the others that you're trying to compare yourself to, who are also doing the same thing. So if we can individually figure this out, individually go, I found my purpose, and now I start doing it. Think about what it is, what it can be, is as a group, if we figure that out together. If we're individually working together as a body to make something bigger happen, how much more do you think that would please God? That many people, respecting each other, thankful for each other, figure this out. And they begin to work together in creating a bigger picture. That's when the limbs work together to respect the bigger picture. See, here at Village Heights, we will always strive for efficiency, and we'll always strive for excellence in everything that we do. We might not be the best at all it is, but the tools that we are given, we're going to do the best we can with it. Not because we want to feel good, not because we are in a contest or with another church, not because we're comparing ourselves, but because this is the gift that God has given us, and because it pleases him, Village Heights is going to do everything it can to please God. We're going to use these tools, use these talents for the bigger picture, for the vision. We're going to, just like a body develops, we're going to make the body of Christ as strong as we can here at Village Heights. And as we do that, Big C, big church, will also improve. As we grow, other churches will grow, because it spreads. When something healthy is out there, other people go, I want that healthy. How are they doing? And this is where you get conferences for. We go to conferences, we go to things that for other churches that are doing it good and they're doing it right, and we listen to them, and then we apply it to us. It's like going to the gym and your trainer tells you, hey, try this out, eat this thing. Just in the same way, we are going to make this body better. So this is one of the catches to it. And this is when you look at a church and you go, man, they're just not working great together. you can usually find it from the top, okay? The leadership, the head that turns the body and goes in the direction, you can usually find it at the top, right? So Hannah and I have a large responsibility. Just like Paul had a responsibility to the Corinthian church that he started, he was designated to be the head, okay? So does that mean that I get to be in charge and boss people around? No. I might get to play that way, but really my job is, and not really, I'm not supposed to tell you to become a limb. What my job is to field what God has given us to interpret what limb you're supposed to be. If you don't know what that is, I can help you get there. If you know what it is and it's obvious, then I can say, hey, jump in, plug in right here. But that's the responsibility that God has given us. And the cool thing about it is then we get a staff. Tanner and Kaylin now are part of us, and they get to help us do that too. They look at everybody and they say, hey, how can we make this work better? How can we fulfill what God's created them to be, what they've designated them to be? So there's a lot of pressure in that. So I ask you to be patient with us. Not to say anybody hasn't been impatient or anything like that, but be patient with us and to understand that this is a hard thing to do. But it's a very rewarding thing to do. And we don't take this lightly. It's very important to us that we design the body of Christ at Village Heights to be the best thing that it is. And I got to say, we've been doing a great job. I'm going to brag on us for a second. We have only been in existence for 9 months. And you've heard me say it in the past month. Only in existence for 9 months. And we have achieved great things. More than churches that have been around for a decade. It's hard to believe, but it's true. I mean, so in the summer, we've raised like $25,000 that we've given away. More money than we've had in the bank. We've given it away. And we've done it specifically. We just have said, oh, here's the money. Go do what you please. We said, okay, what's your specific need? And how can we go further? We physically went to these places and physically did things. That is a well-formed body. That is a body that is working great, because what we have achieved is way beyond our skill level. It's way beyond our age. It's been an awesome thing. So I'm bragging on us and bragging on you guys. You're doing great. We're doing well. And just because we're not large or anything like that, that doesn't mean that we're not good at what we do. That doesn't mean we're well designed. We're just a developing church. And just like as a body grows over time, we will grow. So our goal here at Village Heights is not just to, again, to make ourselves feel good. And I want to make you guys feel good, but sometimes I have to make you feel bad. Sometimes I have to be honest with you and tell you, you're not working properly to what you were designed for. And sometimes that's hard. And if I ever have to come to you, it'll be with a hardened heart to tell you, hey, I know you want to do this, but I just don't feel like this is going to work. We haven't been anywhere near that position because we have just a great group of people. But it happens. Sometimes we have to make the body do things that it doesn't want to do. Sometimes we have to get up early. Sometimes we have to work out. Sometimes we have to eat the things we don't want to eat. Sometimes we have to just go out and do the things. Sometimes we have to go to work. Sometimes it happens. And as we develop and as we get stronger, then that means that we get, because we do all that stuff, we get to do the fun things. So the fun things was the summer. That was the fun things. That was super cool and very rewarding to be a part of that stuff. So I thank you. Thank you for being the body of Christ at Village Heights. Thank you for doing awesome things here in this community. So my challenge to you guys, I'll leave you with this. First off, stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing yourself. You are unique. God created you to serve a purpose. He gave you designation before you were born. So before you knew that you could even compare yourself, you had purpose. First, stop doing that. The second thing is, if you don't know what that purpose is yet, try to find it. It's going to take time. You're not going to find it tonight. It's not going to happen once you put your head down and wake up. I don't know. God can work some miracles. But it's not going to happen that quick. And if you want help, we're here. We want to place you, and sometimes it might be figuring it out. It might say, oh, try this. Oh, that didn't work out. Try this. That didn't work out. That's okay. But we will not give up on you. Know that. We will help you find whatever it is. And then the next thing, if you already know what it is and you're already doing it, strengthen it. Make it stronger. Because just like a body, as certain limbs get stronger, what happens with the other limbs? They catch up, right? Because that's just the way it works. We're designed to work together. And so if one is leaving the rest behind, the rest is going to try to catch up. So those are my three things for you individually. But as a church, have patience with each other. If someone's not working out whatever they're supposed to be doing, have patience with them and help them see that they're a part of something greater. Give them value if they don't have it. If they need to be picked up in the moment, pick them up. Help them. And as we do that, we'll become a more defined, more efficient, a gold medal-winning body of Christ. I love you guys. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go. But let's do that. Lord, thank you so much for these great people. Thank you so much for this calling on our lives. Lord, thank you for having a place for us, regardless of that we even knew it or not. Thank you for giving us designation and purpose. You are an amazing God, and you love us so much that you just didn't throw us down here and said, figure it out. You gave us tools. You gave us the ability to work together. And Lord, as we work together, we get stronger. Lord, right now, I speak against insecurities, God. I pray that if anybody here is struggling with insecurities, I pray that they'll begin to abolish them in their lives. I pray that you begin to show them what they are and show them how damaging they are and how untrue that they are. Lord, I pray for the spirit of, against the spirit of comparing ourselves. Lord, when we wake up in the morning and we want to compare ourselves, do we look like this person, that person? Lord, those are lies. We're never going to compare to somebody else because we're all unique. We're all been made with a purpose, Lord, and help us see that. Lord, as a church, Lord, as we design this out, design this body of Christ, Lord, I pray that you give me wisdom, give Hannah wisdom, give Tanner wisdom as we develop, Lord, in fielding the people that come and helping them fall into place in the body of Christ where they're supposed to be so we can be the best, best church for you that we can. Because we do this to please you, God, not ourselves. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Keep us safe as we go. And in your name we pray. Amen.